What goes around, comes around. That's the lesson ahead of us on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
At the end of Proverbs 26, we read, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it'll roll back on them. In other words, what goes around comes around. And boy, have we seen that played out time and time again throughout history. Perhaps even in your own life. Are you digging a hole or rolling a stone right now? Pastor Dave Rolfe will have us think that through as we return to the Proverbs and our series, Smarter Living.
When somebody really ticks us off, one of the first things that we do is we take what they do and we blow it up a little bit. So people come and tell you, well, you said this. You're like, wait, I didn't exactly say that. You're kind of twisting it a little, but that's what we do. When we have hatred, when we have anger and bitterness and this kind of, you know, I am so offended because you're not doing what I want you to do, the next thing we do is we take what somebody does and we just expand on it a little bit. Usually, we don't just totally make up something that isn't true. The political season is a good time to see this, where all these things are being said, and then everybody goes, you're just making that up. Now, people generally don't just totally make something up. They take something that's, you know, sort of true, and then they just expand upon it, or they begin to make suppositions about what the motivations of the person is, or, you know, maybe you have people in your life who just say, you know what, you aren't worth anything to me at all. But usually people don't do that. They treat you in a way, they show you in subtle ways, and you just go, it's like, you don't care about me at all. Now, maybe they just don't approve of what you're doing, or maybe they just won't do what you want them to do. But as soon as we begin to justify stretching the truth, as soon as we, as he says, a lying tongue, hating those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth, we begin to say gushy things in a positive way when in reality it's not the way we feel at all, now our integrity is being further compromised. And now we find ourselves in a situation where, combined with passion without reflection, combined with hatred and denial, you take lies and exaggerations and you justify them and you say things that are completely contrary to the way you're really feeling. Now you become so blinded, and we all do this, we can become so blinded that we're shocked when it backfires. We're just absolutely ashamed and mortified that I had no idea that it could ever come to this. I mean, there are people, I think, that they're in a relationship that's just horrible and nothing honest or real about it. And then over years, all of a sudden, it's like, what do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean it's over? And they're completely shocked because we live so much in denial that the behavior that we exhibit ends up resulting in something that we're completely blindsided by it. It's so important that we live with integrity and that we make it possible for other people to have integrity toward us. That when somebody says, I'm really angry with you, or when somebody says, I don't like you very much right now, that we not send a message that says, don't you ever tell me that again. See, ultimately, that will destroy us. Now, in all of these things, it's really important for us to acknowledge that with this warning that Solomon gives us, we all have this problem at one time or another. For every one of us, we are doing certain things that though we would deny it, the truth is what we are saying, what we are doing is really designed in one way or another, unless you're just a better person than anybody I know. And I see some people here, I'm like, yeah, they probably never, you know, like Al say, he probably would never do this. But most of us, we would like, yeah, this is a habit that we can so easily fall into, and we can be so destructive to ourselves, probably even more than the way that we destroy other people. But it's a battle that's going on in our own hearts, and if we don't realize what the battle is, and if we don't understand how it works, then we are setting ourselves up to have the rock roll back on us, to fall into our own hole. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll read it, you can turn over there if you'd like, but Paul's talking about there's basically two ways to live your life. One of them he calls the works of the flesh. The other one he calls the fruit of the Spirit. He goes, and it's real easy to tell the difference. At any given moment, the way we are dealing with another person, it's going to fall into one or the other of these categories. The works of the flesh are evident, he says, which are, and this is Galatians 5:19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. And we're like, yeah, get all the pervs. But then he goes, idolatry, materialism, sorcery, hatred, contentions, just fighting, arguing, jealousy, wanting what somebody else has, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, being divisive, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the flesh looks like. You ever do any of those things? It's setting yourself up to ultimately destroy yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, just being nice, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. See, the choices that we make either put us in the realm of I'm doing what my flesh tells me to do, or the Holy Spirit is working in my life and helping me look like this. Whenever you are so bugged and angry at somebody that you really wish harm to them, that you're really saying things that will cause them to be denigrated in someone else's eyes, or you really want to bring them down, that's the works of the flesh. Now, what all of this comes down to ultimately, whenever you are just so upset that you are trying to hurt another person and it'll end up hurting you, a lot of it just comes down to a lack of patience. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. After love, joy, and peace, then it's long-suffering or patience. And you might go, yeah, I am impatient with that person. No, call it what it is. You are actually impatient with God. Because for you to get worked up and feeling that somebody else deserves to be dealt with, to be put in their place, to be taken down, what you're really saying is, I don't think God's doing it. I want him to work, and I want him to work now. The fruit of the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, comes along and it says, it'll be okay. God's never in a hurry. God doesn't just say how high when you say jump, but he's working. How about letting God work on a person instead of you feeling like you either need to straighten them out or warn everyone else? The biggest justification that there is for destructive gossip is, well, I need to protect other people. Yeah, be careful, because that can come back to destroy you ultimately. You'll be hoist on your own petard if you do that kind of thing and think you're the person that needs to keep everybody aware and posted of all of the dangers that are out there. I'm amazed when people think that their main calling in life is to tell other people how bad other people are. It's like, really? That's the life that you wanna live? Jesus said, even the Father doesn't judge. He said, he gives it to me to judge. The Apostle Paul, one of my favorite passages in 1 Corinthians, said, here's what I do. He goes, I don't let other people judge me. In fact, I don't even judge myself. I'm going to let God judge me. But when we allow ourselves to believe that somehow we're the one that needs to point out the error, that we're the one that's going to save the world with all of our information, you're going to save the world a lot faster by living a life of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And to do otherwise, set yourself up for a lot of pain. And now, remember too, as Paul points out in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against people. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you want to know what the evil intention of the devil is for you, it's to make you believe that who you're really fighting is people. Instead, your real battle is against evil itself, against the devil himself. He is lying to us, and he loves to make us not get along with other people. Because through doing all of that, we find ourselves stuck in a place where, you know what, we will all be destroyed. Because we will try to destroy each other, and the rock will roll back on us. We will fall into the ditch, and all of a sudden now we're going to be all destroyed, which is ultimately what the enemy of our soul wants. Our ultimate enemy isn't people, ever. It's the forces of evil that want us to destroy people. That's what, when people have hurt you really deeply, and I understand that, what that really was the powers of evil using that person who was only a sucker to try to destroy you. Because it's how we can be destroyed. We aren't allowed generally to be vulnerable to a direct assault from Satan. So he uses us against each other. And ultimately, if I destroy another person, I am destroying a part of me. If I am attacking some other church or some other ministry or whatever, you know what? It's the body of Christ. So it's like the right hand being mad at the left hand and shooting it. It's like, I am sick of these ears, so I'm going to cut them off so I can see. Ultimately, all I'm doing is destroying who I am. I'm destroying the whole body. And that's what I think that as Solomon's just explaining, be careful. Because out of anger and self-justification and deception and twisting the truth, you not only will destroy other people, which is bad enough, but you'll destroy yourself. And that's something that as human beings and as people who follow Jesus, we should take that very seriously because it's a definite warning for us. A couple of personal questions that are just there for you to ask yourself. What holes are you digging right now? Where is it that you are harboring, you know, antagonism or passion and anger, and you believe that you're justified, but you're digging a hole? You're digging into somebody's life by taking little digs at them. You are talking about them in a way that's destructive. Where are you digging your holes? Because ultimately, that's where you will fall. You will decide, this is where I destroy myself. Where are you rolling stones? What rocks are you pushing? And every one of us can learn a lot from just doing that. I called this message, What Goes Around Comes Around. And it's easy to talk about that. And it's easy to say, well, this is just the way it works. Push a rock, it pushes back on you. Dig a hole, you're probably going to fall into it. Ultimately, that is, and the Bible teaches a lot about it. Life is kind of this way. It's sowing and reaping. Choices have consequences. And it's important for us to understand that for sure. The problem is, ultimately, that can almost sound like the doctrine of karma, you know, that Hindus and Buddhists believe in. What karma is there's nothing, you know, everything that happens to you is because of something that you did either in a past life or in your current life. And so this is just the way it goes, and karma's a bummer, but that's just it. It's going to happen. It all will even itself out ultimately. Your life will always be the product of your choices. And it's certainly true, and the scriptures tell us in reality that, yeah, in some ways, people who talk about karma are correct, because there are things that we do that bring about natural consequences. However, God has a different, a better response than karma. And that response is called grace, because He has made it possible for us to be forgiven. And He's given us the ability to be able to also forgive others, to disrupt that karmic progression and go, wait a minute, it's possible to look at this in a little different way. And I saw a few years ago, Bono, the lead singer for U2, was being interviewed, and he explained this in such a powerful way. I'm going to read some of it to you. He told the guy who was interviewing him that the thing that keeps me on my knees is the difference between grace and karma. You see, at the center of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put out comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or in physics, in physical laws, every action is met by an equal or an opposite reaction. It's clear to me that karma is at the very heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace to upend all that. As you reap, so will you sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts, if you like, the consequences of your actions, which in my case is very good news indeed, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. He says, I'm holding out for grace. I'm holding out that Jesus took my sins onto the cross because I know who I am, and I hope I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. He says, there are consequences to actions. The point of the death of Christ is that Christ took on the sins of the world so that what we put out did not come back to us, and that our sinful nature does not reap the obvious death. That's the point. It should keep us humbled. It's not our own good works that get us through the gates of heaven. Grace. The idea that I don't have to do what somebody did to me. And in fact, what's amazing is I don't even have to pay for the stupid stuff I've done. That God sent His Son to make it possible to leave the realm of karma, to leave the realm of what's fair. And karma would be totally fair, right? If it were true, it's like it's justified. But to go beyond karma to grace, to understand that there is someone who took our sins so that we would not have to get the karma that we have coming, so that the consequences wouldn't have to be there. When we understand what it is to be forgiven, then we have a much easier time not being so, you know, mean and judgmental and passionately angry against other people, because they got saved the same way that you did, because God loves them the way He loves you. And to begin to respond to His grace then makes it possible for us to extend grace, because it was something that was given to us. None of us is good enough on our own. I know you're angry with people who you think are worse than you, but that will come back to destroy you, because if God can't forgive them, what makes you think He can forgive you for judging them that He tells you not to do? I love grace. And in a moment, we're going to participate in what we call communion. That's when we celebrate what Jesus did for us. Jesus, right before He died, He said, here's a piece of bread. Break it, because my body is just about to be broken for you. And here's a cup. Drink it. It's my blood that's going to be shed for you. I'm going to die for you so that you can be forgiven. That beautiful scripture in Isaiah 53:6, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And that's why we celebrate communion, because I don't have to make up for my own failures, which are considerable, but I'm also freed up that I don't have to make you pay for yours. That I don't have to live my life hoping that somebody else gets theirs. Because the truth is, because of grace, I'm not going to get mine. Oh, you know, there are bad consequences sometimes to choices that I make, but it's nothing compared to what I deserve. And because I want grace, I want other people to have grace as well. I don't care how wrong they are. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care why they are being hurtful toward me. I want to forgive because I want to live by grace, not karma. And communion is that physical reminder that he paid for all of it, that he went to the point of death because he wanted us to have a chance to escape the consequences of our stupid, stupid choices. Now, if you're here and you've never really accepted Jesus Christ, you've never decided, I want him to forgive me. I want to be somebody who feels like I'm getting a fresh start. Then during communion, to me, is a beautiful time for you to just give your life to him, for you to receive grace. That as you, we'll pass out the bread and the juice and we'll all hang on to it, but as you take yours and as you receive it, if in your heart you will say, I am receiving your grace and your love. I want to be forgiven. I want Jesus' death to be for me. At that moment, something radical happens. You just left karma and stepped into grace. You just left the consequences of trying to tear others down and them tearing you down, and ultimately we're all destroyed, where you realize, man, there's a whole other way. And so if you've never done that, made that decision to accept him, I don't care if you've gone to church all your life, if you've never personally told him, I want you to take my sins, I want you to forgive me and to be my Savior, then do it today during communion. You'll never regret that decision, I promise you. For the rest of us who have experienced that, and yet we still continue to fall into the patterns of self-destruction and other destruction, communion is a time for us to remind ourselves that his death, his love, his grace, that's what our lives are really about. And so as we take of the elements, let's just flush down all of the things that we're holding against others and all of the things that we are using to potentially wish damage to others. Let's just let it go and start fresh. That's why Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. When we forget him, we start digging a hole that we're going to fall into. When we remember him, we're like, I don't need any enemies. I don't need to hurt anybody else. I don't want to hurt myself anymore.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we close things out.
Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that since the only way that we could start over was by you giving your body and your blood, and you were willing to do that. We can't understand that. We easily want to take people down. We don't want to give our lives for our enemies, and yet essentially that's what you did for us. But we will celebrate that love because we love the feeling of being clean and forgiven, and that's what we celebrate as we partake. And Lord, for the people who've never really understood this, or they've just never taken that step of saying, I need to start over. I need to be forgiven. I need to let go of all the stuff in my life that's destroying me. Help them to know that as they receive you, as they receive these elements and in their heart, they're saying, I'm receiving you, Jesus. Help them to feel clean and forgiven and fresh and loved and valued and receiving a hope for the future. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll be talking about something that has touched virtually all of us to one degree or another, alcohol abuse. If you've not experienced it yourself, no doubt you know of someone who has struggled with this. Join Pastor Dave Roth for this very helpful study in the Proverbs as we continue to make it our aim to do life better and smarter. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.